Blog Talk Radio.
The cost left my heart broken, so I had it all for repair. Wandering in my desert, your oasis appears. You're like a long, cool drink of water. I'm thirsty, that's clear when I taste you. I know you, I know you, I do. So can you feel it? Tell me I need to know.
It's Mark Rawson, and I'd like to welcome you to Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, once a month, me and Mike get on together, and we've been doing the show for a while now, and we love doing it. And we have the show called The Men's Spiritual Radio Hour, and it's a show about men and their spiritual journeys. And as you know, we kind of reach out around the world and find incredible men who are spiritually growing, are doing all types of work in the world, and kind of bring them out for everybody to kind of talk about their journeys, talk about their life lessons, all that kind of stuff. So we're really excited to have our guest on this evening. And with that, I'll bring Mike in. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am, Mark.
Always great to have you on, Mike. We were just kind of talking a little bit about the radio show or in the beginning of the radio show that for whatever reason, my computer decided to update Skype 2 minutes before the show was going to start. And I could dial in and start the show, but couldn't hear anything. So normally we would blame Mercury retrograde for this, but I think this is just technology, and sometimes things are just what they are. So with that, Mike, as always, great to have you on. If you want to find out more about Mike and the great services that he has, go to our website, spiritualconnectionsradio.com. You'll see a link on there for his website. He is primarily listed under the St. Germain Radio Show because he does a couple different radio shows on Blog Talk and on Spiritual Connections. And you can find out about his great services, his music, and everything on his website. So with that, Mike, why don't you go ahead and introduce who we have with us this evening.
Okay. All right. Tonight on the show, we have Chris Keller, and he's going to be talking about his journey tonight. Chris is a quantum energy practitioner and healer who specializes in finding the trouble areas in the body and the stressors within that area by using the pendulum and the chart method of dowsing. He also has he has quite a lot of other things here he does, too, as far as he's certified in dowsing with the pendulum and radionics, I'm not sure if I said that right, healing with metaphysical tools, quantum touch, muscle testing, which is also applied kinesiology. Well, I'm not really good at pronouncing these things today. Footpath detox and live blood analysis. So, boy, that's quite a list right there, Chris, and we're really happy to have you on the show tonight. And welcome.
Thank you for having me on, gentlemen. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's great having you on. We've had you on, I think, the main show, and I know we wanted to book you to bring you back, and between our schedules and your schedules, boy, we're all busy. That's a good thing.
Well, so it happened, and Mercury and retrograde did not prevent us from being here today.
Very cool. So thank you for being here, and you know, one of the things I think is really interesting is that you spent 30 years, you know, I always get a big kick out of the fact that you know, you take someone like myself, 25, actually more than 25, probably close to 30 or 35 years in technology and moving into spirituality. And, you know, then I'm looking at your background, you had 30 years in the printing and newspaper industry. and that you quote-unquote retired in 2007, which is a lot of what most of the spiritual workers want to do, which is let's get out of the 3D job and get into, for a lot of us, what we would call get a job, you know, that we want to do. So talk a little bit about what that transition was like. Were you doing anything spiritual while you were in the newspaper business, or, you know, what was the transition?
Well, I was doing absolutely nothing spiritual in the newspaper business. You know, I did spend 30 years in printing, and that was my trade. That was my love. I loved doing it. It was a craft. The craft goes back many centuries back to Japan and Germany, and I loved doing it. So of course, now what happened was with the start of the transition in 2005, my first wife passed away. She had a rare disease called scleroderma. So at that time, my financial planner looked at me in the eye and says, Chris, you know what? I'm looking at some numbers here, and I'm thinking if you wanted to, I'm quite sure that you could retire. So I listened, very shortly, and it didn't take me long to decide, you know what? I've been working pretty darn hard since I've been 16 years old, just working in print, doing different things, and always doing physical manual labor. And I took his advice. And I retired. So at 46, 47 years old, I quit working and sat in the backyard and drank beer for a while, okay? My neighbors started getting a little concerned about me and looking in the backyard, knowing what I was going through. And I realized, okay, you know what, Chris, it's time to pick things back up and make yourself proud and do your late wife a little honor and do something with your life. So I've always been into bodybuilding, okay? I used to have two gym memberships. I lived across the street from a gym. I worked across the street from a gym. I was always going to the gym and pumping iron. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a course and become a personal trainer. So I went to the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg, and I enrolled in a course, started taking that course, even had a job lined up at a local gym. And all of a sudden, a little voice said to me, you need to do something with your body other than just working out. You need to cleanse it of all of the toxins, all of the harsh substances you've been working with all your life. And a friend of mine had mentioned something about these foot bath detoxes, where you put your feet in a bucket of water and it pulls out all of the toxins from your body. And I looked at her and said, yeah, right, get me another beer. But you know what? All of a sudden, I'm walking in my local mall, and I see a sign above a door, and it says, foot bath detox. I look at this sign, and I says, I think I'm supposed to go in there. So I felt almost something push me, direct me into that shop. So I walked in, and I started talking with the gentleman who runs the place. And we did a couple detoxes. I told him about my story, what was going on. And we started talking a little bit about intuition. And, you know, the conversation started getting a little lengthy, and it was time to go. And he looked at me and says, why don't you come back again to the store sometime? We'll do another detox. We'll talk a bit more. So I did. You know, I'm not afraid of this guy. He seemed like a very well enough to guy, so I wasn't too worried about him trying to take my money or anything. And he started talking to me about this thing called muscle testing, where you can wave your hand over somebody's body, tap your fingers, and find weak areas of vitality in a person's body. And I looked at him, and I said, well, you're going to do what to me? So, you know, he kind of showed me, and I told me a few things about myself that, you know, I didn't tell him, and that he kind of knew. So I kind of raised my eyebrow and said, this is kind of interesting. And he started telling me about a course that I could take to learn it. And so I took a bit of an interest in it. So I kind of put the personal training thing aside, started looking at this course of muscle testing, applied kinesiology. And I started picking it up really quick. Okay, so I started learning how to read the body's electricity. And to learn how to discern from a health problem or a spiritual problem and all those types of things. So that really got me going on my journey. It was a nice push into the energy realm.
Wow. So, you know, I think, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike. What was your question?
Oh, I was going to say, when you got to that point, did you start to, was it at that point then, you know, in your story when you just started to work on people, or did you start applying the concepts to yourself first? Like, you know, what exactly were like the next steps that you got deeper into seeing, you know, other modalities and so forth?
Well, you of course you work on yourself a little bit because you want to practice somewhat, but ultimately if you work on somebody else, your answers that you're getting aren't going to be, you know, they're not going to be interpreted by your body as to a doubt or a right or a wrong. So it's always better to work on somebody else. And so I started meeting other people who do this type of work in Alberta, Canada, and in Vancouver, Canada. And they introduced me to something called radionics, which is working with frequencies. So you've got a machine. It's a device that uses little bottles of water that vibrate at certain frequencies, to one to vibrate at the frequency of the liver, one to vibrate at the frequency of virus, and so on and so forth. And when you use these vials of water in this device, along with a person's frequency that you capture in a little vial, then you can pulse out vibrations and frequencies of something that is wrong within a person's liver or brain or whatever. So I started off with radionics and starting to learn that a little bit. And that, you know, was just another stepping stone that led me into the world of quantum healing, working with the actual energies of the universe that are all around us 24/7, 365 and a quarter days a year. So I started taking some more courses in quantum touch and dowsing, and I started teaching myself how to use the pendulum in certain ways, and I started developing my own chart system and different ways of reading the body and different ways to ask questions and so on and so on and so on. So as able to start to get deeper into a person's physicality, spirituality, and energy as to what all the aspects of a health problem really are. So now, of course, I started learning all this, and I met somebody else who really changed my life in a huge, huge way. His name is Wayne. He lives in Alberta, Canada. The name of his company is Crystalline Incorporated. The tools that he makes are the tools that I use within my clinic and I sell on my website. They are pyramids in certain structure forms that harness the quantum energy that's all around us. It harnesses it and it amplifies it at a very, very deep level. So when you're using these tools, you're able to go in very deep levels into a person's body to eliminate health problems. And this alone has propelled my healing modality that I developed myself to a level where basically almost anything is attainable as far as healing a person's health problem.
Wow. I do have a quick question for you, too, in regards to the radionics. I'm quite familiar with the Rife machine, and I know, in fact, that the company that sells in Canada, unfortunately, it's not available in the U.S. at this point yet. But as far as the Rife machine, just two questions is, number one, have you had any experience with it? And number two, is that similar to the machine that you're speaking of that sends the frequency out with the different water bottles you were talking about?
I think they're the same basis, but they're done in different ways. There's some machines that have like 12 or 14 dials on them to dial in the frequencies. There's a few different types of Rife machines. I know there's a zapper that will zap up parasites. It's not really a radionic device, but there's so many different types of them. The one I use uses specific raw frequency that you can program into a little bottle, a little vial of water, so that the water vibrates. So it is the same, but different. They all work with frequency, they all work with vibration, and they're all designed to vibrate out a specific frequency.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great. Personal work, go ahead.
No, what I use my radionic device for primarily right now, not so much for healing, because the pyramids do such a much better job. What I use my radionic device for is putting frequencies into something, like a wristband, silicone wristband with a hologram. The hologram holds a frequency, so I can put the frequency of anything into a wristband. When you wear that wristband, now you get the energy of whatever it is, and it's like a medication almost. So you can put homeopathic remedies in there. You can put frequencies of peace, love, and joy. You can put frequencies to balance hormones. You can put a frequency for anything within these wristbands, and it works extremely well.
Oh, awesome. Hey, I'll just mention one thing quick here so Mark can ask some questions. But in the work that I do with my healing work, besides just, Reiki and different things that I use, I do sound healing with mostly my electric keyboard and high-frequency sounds, and I also use some other instruments. And so that's the method of frequency that I'm most familiar with when I work on clients and meditation groups. And I just wondered if you had, in your work, dealt with using music and sound healing as well with different people.
No, that's something I haven't gone down the road with. I got so much on my plate as it is. I wanted to master what I was working with at this time. But you know what, Mike? My favorite saying is that there's many, many ways to cook a potato. So when in the energy realm, my goodness, there is an incredible amount of modalities. You know, every time you turn around, somebody's asking if you know EFT, do you know quantum touch, do you know Reiki, do you know reconnective healing. There's so many different ways. And all it is, what it boils right down to, is being able to intend quantum energy to do something for you. So I intend quantum energy to go in and remove the virus from your liver. And there's many different ways to do that, whether it's hands-on, whether it's vibrating on a frequency on a keyboard or a radionic device, or singing ohms or doing a chant. Anything like that is going to vibrate out a frequency.
Very cool. Thank you, Mike. So, Chris, what is more of, or talking about more of the different trainings that you've done, talking about more, maybe not so much about, because I definitely want to hear more about the different things you've gotten certified in, what else you've added to your toolbox. But I'd also like to know, what has your own spiritual journey been like? What has your own expansion been like as a man?
Well, let's start from the beginning, shall we? Started off, my family was lived in a strict Mennonite type of community in Manitoba, Canada, in the Bible Belt of Winkler and Morton. My father comes from 12 kids. My mom is one of 17 kids. So very big old Mennonite-type families with Mennonite-type realities and thoughts and the way they live their lives. So, you know, of course, I grew up going to church every Sunday. And for some reason, I just did not like going to church every Sunday. Everybody else did. Everybody else wanted to go praise God, but I wanted to stay home and watch cartoons. I just didn't feel comfortable doing it. So as I grew older, I just, you know, finally said, I'm not going to church. I've had it. I'm not going. I don't want to go. So having said that, I'm brought up in this Mennonite type of arena, if you will. So now I fall into this spiritual line of work. What kind of mix is that, you're asking yourself? Here's a guy that doesn't want to go to church, but he's working in spirituality. Spirituality and church and religion are in a way two completely different things if you really look at it, what it truly is. True spirituality, I've been given by my guides, the meaning of true spirituality is simple, unconditional love. That's what true spirituality is, okay? There's no big explanation of what it is or who it is or how it is. That's it in a nutshell. True, simple love. That's basically it. So when I take my spirituality concept on the work I do, I am working with the God of love and light. I am working with the Son of God and love and light. I do work with all the angels and all the deities from the kingdom of heaven. So I consider myself a very spiritual person, but not in any way, shape, or form a religious type of person.
So, you know, with a couple of questions came out of that. First of all, do you feel that since you now have a lot of these upper-level connections that you use to do the work you do, do you feel that even though you're not in the dogma-based religious structure that your connection with a creator, a universal energy, a conscious energy has really strengthened more than your religious background?
It has strengthened unbelievably, and only because I now understand a really good amount of what the whole spirituality concept is. And with the work I'm doing, it does lead me down a lot of certain paths as to how the universe really works. What's the structure of it? Who's in charge at whatever given time? And how the whole thing comes about. So I know all about all the dark forces, Satan, Lucifer, the devil, Incubus, Moloch, all these forces that I remove out of people on a daily basis. I've come to a very big understanding of how it all works and the game of duality within our planet and within humanity is the biggest, oldest game around. So the saying of as above, so below pertains to what is going on in humanity. Whatever is going on upstairs is happening downstairs. So I've really come to a good understanding and a good vibrational level of what is really happening. I know how to use it and how to get more deeper into a person's health problem and spirituality of the health problem.
You know, you had mentioned earlier, actually, I don't want to go there yet. I was going to ask you, how did you get introduced to your guide and what was that initial introduction like? But before we go to that, you had mentioned that, you know, you feel there's this stronger connection with Creator, whatever you want to call it, and you have a better understanding about how things work and all that. So talk about a couple of the insights that you just mentioned.
Well, as of late, okay, I do work alongside the scenario that there is a fifth dimension higher consciousness that is about to come in, okay? And a lot of people have been talking about this for quite a number of years now, that the coming in of the new era and all that type of thing. So I'm working very closely with helping people to advance their energy so that they can accept those energies a lot better. So as far as understanding the whole realm of it all, you have to understand all the fallen angel aspect, which is Satan, the devil, Lucifer, blah, blah, blah. Now, a lot of things have come to light in the last 3 or 4 weeks with me, and that's only because we're getting a lot closer to this fifth dimension consciousness activation. So what has happened is the Earth has gone into a stargate where it is anchored in and to the fifth dimension. So it is there. It's standing in line, ready to go. So with all these veils that are lifted, I have learned that for the past 2,000 plus years, God that we think of is actually the God of humanity, okay? The God of humanity was Satan, okay? He had rule over the planet for the last 2,000 plus years. So now with all these energies changing, he has moved out. The God of love and light has stepped in and said, okay, party time is over, dude. Get aside, go back to your hole, and we're going to start changing the planet. We're going to get things back to a love vibration, back to our harmonious vibration, and get things back to normal where people stop killing themselves and having wars and fights over all different types of things. That's one scenario. Okay, there's a few different scenarios going on that I've learned about. Another big scenario is that there's a lot of wars going on the planet over stargates. Yes, I said the word stargates. And these are portals of energy that enable any type of being to go into a wormhole and end up on the other side of the universe to get there in a very fast way. So the Earth itself is loaded up with stargates. We are a hub of stargate activity. The sun itself is a very large stargate. A lot of beings come through the sun, they hit the Earth, and they go, okay, where do you want to go now? And now we want to go to Alpha Centauri. Okay, we need that stargate, but it's closed. Well, we're going to have to find another one. Hey, let's go through that person with their big, bright chakra system. And they'll use your chakra system as a stargate, which creates a lot of stress in your body, which creates a lot of cortisol happening in your body, which in turn creates a very big health problem. So that is another scenario that has come up very, very short time ago that I'm now working with in order to help people with their health problems.
What would be a good indicator that someone is being used as a stargate? Like, would I start having heart problems? Or, I mean, what's the smoking gun?
In a lot of ways, it's what chakra are they using? Are they using the heart chakra? Yes, you might have a heart problem. What I have found within a lot of people, especially women, is that all of a sudden you eat a little something and you get really bloated. You get a big distended belly, and it's like, what's going on here? I look pregnant. That is a sign that your body is being used as a stargate, okay? And everybody's body is being used as a stargate. When a multidimensional being comes out of the sun and onto the earth, all they see is the lights of our chakras. They don't see the whole thing happening on a 3D level. They see the lights of our chakras. To them, those are like landing lights. They're going to come in and use them and land on a planet and then find their next stargate and move on. So generally, if you have a specific health problem, specifically one that is very chronic, something that just will not go away, no matter what you do, nobody can find the answer. Generally, it's going to be one of these stargate scenarios happening within you.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was wondering if you could also talk more about when you work on people and deal with a lot of issues related to past life. You know, a lot of us have like past life trauma and past life memories embedded in our subconscious, and it can affect us in our emotions and our fears and even some of our dealings in the world today and everything. And I'd be interested to hear what you've found when you work with that.
Yeah, past life scenarios do come up quite often, not every time for people, but they do come up once in a while. So if you're a person who tends to have the same problem come up time after time, you're always finding a crappy job, you're always finding a crappy relationship, you're always in debt, this scenario just keeps on looping, okay? There could be some karmic debt involved where in a past life you did something nasty to somebody and now you're paying the debt for doing somebody wrong. So if you poke somebody there with a finger, in this lifetime you might be blind, okay? Basically, that's it. If you cheat on somebody, your best friend with his wife, all of a sudden now your wife is cheating on you. So it's a scenario that says it's a kind of a payback thing. You're going to pay back your karmic debt over and over again until you learn your lesson. Okay, that's the big thing. If you learn your lesson and in one way, shape, or form you come to terms with your soul contract and null and void that contract, then things will start to change for you.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, and it's also why I think, you know, some people, this is different scenarios that they're even born into in the world. You know, some of them seem so unfair when some people are born into extreme poverty and different things like that, and also people that are born with just amazing talent where it could take some people many years to gain that talent, and some people have that talent just as a child. You know, on the other hand, I really think that you bring a lot of your knowledge with you into the life, even if it is subconscious or you're not aware of it.
Correct. I certainly agree with that 100%. You have to figure that there's got to be something involved. If somebody is just successful without even trying, now that person may have created a vow with Satan that they're successful, and then when that person dies, Satan gets his soul. That's happened. Bob Dylan admits that he has sold his soul to the devil to be famous. The guy can't sing a lick. Give me a break. But he's really famous. Okay, there's also a lot of different curses out there. The curse of 27. How many rock stars have died at the age 27? Think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So yeah. There are different types of curses, different types of voodoo, different types of black magic that can greatly affect your life in all different ways.
What can you tell us about your story about how you first got introduced to your guide?
Well, you know, I've always been working with my pendulum and knowing that there is a guide there. I did go to a spiritualist church where they would do channelings, and I was told that my first guide was my father, who passed away about 20-some years ago. They actually drew a picture of him on pen and pencil and said, who does this belong to? I said, that's my dad. And he said, well, this is your guide. So I was introduced that way. I was also introduced that one of my protectors was a native Indian named Red Hawk. So I was introduced in the beginning at that level. And then what I found is that as I progressed in my work, as I got deeper and deeper into it, just like going from grade 7 to grade 8 in school, you get a new teacher. I got a new guide. Every time I went up a level, I would get a new guide. And it's been lately, the past 6 months, I must have gone through about 5 of them. It's just coming fast and furious. As you hit a new level, you get somebody else to help you.
I was muted there. I was like, wow. I'm like looking down going, oh, they didn't hear that. So we kind of sidetracked there. You were kind of telling us more about some of the modalities you added into your toolbox.
Well, the basic ones is working with the pendulum, working with the sacred geometry, which is the pyramids, the different rings that project a specific energy. I learned how to do quantum touch only to try to understand what I was doing as far as energy goes. In the beginning, with my radionic device, I would play around with it. So what I did one day is somebody came to me and said, I got pain in my arm. I broke my arm the other day. It's in a cast. So what I did is I thought, let's try this. So I put my hand on their arm, and I envisioned putting the vials, different vials, into the machine to pulse out the frequency of pain. So I just envisioned pulsing it out on the machine. I looked at him. I says, how does your arm feel? And he said, the pain is gone. So that to me was another breakthrough in another modality. And you know, there's no name for it. I call it radionic touch. I don't know, but it's something for me that was really interesting, and I was able to use it to show people how energy worked and doing that type of thing. So that is another thing that I use. I use foot bath detoxes, and that's how I got started in this whole industry, if you want to call it. You put your feet in a bucket of water, put a mechanism that provides ions at the positive and negative level that pull the toxins out of your body, okay? Simple as that. I also do live blood analysis. Now, the interesting thing with live blood analysis is you come into my office and you say you've got this health problem, blah, 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 nobody can figure out. Let's take a drop of blood out of your finger, put it under a microscope, and see what's swimming around in your blood. 9 times out of 10, person's got a parasite. There's a parasite right there. Quite often, I'll douse with my pendulum, and it'll say there's a parasite in the blood. We'll look in the blood, sure enough, there's parasites. So it's a good way to confirm things. It's a tangible way for people to see that something real is happening here, and it puts people at a nice comfort level with working with me. Now, the other modality I do, which is the big one lately, is distance healing. Okay, there's a lot of talk about distance healing and a lot of ways to do it. The way that I do it is through technology. So I'm using Skype. I'm using the telephone. Instead of you coming to my office, if you're in Portland, Oregon, or if you're in San Diego, California, or if you're in Queenstown, Australia, it doesn't matter where you are, I can do the same work on you over Skype as I can if you're in my office. And you feel the same differences. The work works just as fast. It's quantum energy. It goes at the speed of quantum energy, which is infinite. So that's the biggest modality I'm doing right now is the distance healing, and that is by far the biggest clientele that I have is my distance healing clients. I live in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, which is one of the most conservative cities on the planet. Any large company that wants to try a new product, they bring it to Winnipeg. If it works in Winnipeg, they'll sell it anywhere. So if I had to rely on people in Winnipeg for my business, I'd have to close up and get a part-time job peddling ice cream or something. So fortunately, with the beautiful radio shows that are out there on the internet like yours, Mark, I'm able to talk to people all over the world. I'm able to explain the work I do. And then through the wonders of YouTube, I'm able to put up a gazillion videos that explain the work I do, explain my philosophies. Then people can get a comfort level with it, and then they can book an appointment with me, and bada boom, bada bing, we can work on your health problem and get rid of it through technology.
Yeah, Mark, that reminds me of your deep shift lesson that we do at the beginning of some of the shows.
Yeah, like how we integrate that in, and how my friend's been able to actually confirm the energy. So, yeah, it's amazing to see how that works. You know, Chris, one of the, if I remember correctly, and you can, I'll use the common phrase, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Do you use a little mini pyramid?
The pyramid I use is a 7-inch base pyramid. It stands about 18 inches high. There's 5 stacked on top of each other. So I do have some small ones that we use for chakras, but the basic one I use is a 5-tier 7-inch pyramid.
Can you explain how you got introduced to that and then how that works and all that? Because I find that really interesting.
That's an interesting story. Okay, so I have a colleague friend in Lacombe, Alberta, Canada, who introduced me to radionics. So I'd go see him once a year or so just to get a brush up on what's new and exciting. And all of a sudden, I go there, and he shows me these rings, these big copper-coated rings. And he says, watch this. And he put me within the rings and ran some energy and almost knocked me on my ass. It was, the energy was so powerful. And I said, where do I get some? So he introduced me to this fellow in Alberta, Canada, from Crystalline Incorporated, who makes these things. Now, I want to tell you about the fellow who makes the tools. What he does for a living is that he runs energy into the earth grid to clear it of all negativity, such as ET, such as demonic stuff, such as anything that's negative, that's going to inhibit the coming in of the fifth dimension. That is his job. He is the most powerful energy person on the planet by far. So what he does to make money is he builds these tools. And hi, Joshua. So what he does is he builds these tools to make money. So I went to see him a few times, learned a bit more about who he is and what he does, and he taught me a lot more about using the tool. So the whole tool concept, a lot of people look at me and say, why don't you just use your hands? Why can't you use your hands? And I just say, well, my hands are holding the tools. I am using my hands. The tools are just an extension of my hands.
And what is the common reason why you would use that over your other tools or things that you have?
Well, the pyramids working with the raw quantum energy, the raw God energy, the raw zero-point energy is a lot more pure love energy. When you're using radionics, you're just using frequency, okay? There's no emotion. There's no love in it. There's no compassion within it. So you're just placing vials into the machine, running it, and pulsing out an energy. When you're working directly with the God of love and light, it works at such a much deeper level, and it just does a much better job.
Yeah, one thing I found fascinating with the pyramids, I've seen some write-ups here and there about people who've either bought pyramids or made their own that are like almost the exact dimensions but scaled down as the pyramids of Giza in Egypt, and they've used them to some examples. People said they just put this pyramid over top of their fruit basket or food, and it helps fruit, you know, stay fresher longer, and just different areas of their house where they would put the pyramids to gather energy, and that. But they say it's important to have that sacred formula of what the angles should be, you know, to match with.
Yeah,
that's
the formula of pi. Okay, pi is very important. It's a very important equation within the entire universe. Now, the way a pyramid actually works is that you've got the apex of the pyramid, the very top of it. That starts off as positive ions. As the energy slopes down, it changes to negative ions. Negative ions are the ions that you pull in through your body when you walk barefoot on the ground. So there's a lot of societies out there that still sleep on the ground. They wear leather moccasins. They don't wear rubber-soled shoes that insulate their body from the earth. So their health is generally a lot better than ours. So when you're pulling in these negative ions or using them through a pyramid, that's what increases your lifespan, okay? I sleep with a pyramid over my bed. my 7-month-old daughter has a mini pyramid over her crib. So there's a lot of really good aspects to just sleeping under a pyramid. And when you put intent into a pyramid, it takes that energy, those ions, that God love, and enhances the energy, I don't know, 10 million times.
Hey, Mike, go ahead and continue. I have to go troubleshoot something on the radio show.
Oh, okay. So another thing I'd like to talk about is when you've worked with people that have like outside entities or demons or anything like that, that you find that are attached to them, what kind of experiences have you had with that? And you know, have you run into cases where you have to basically do like a full exorcism, or is there other things that you've dealt with when you find it? You know, because I think a lot of times when people have things like that attached to them, they just think it's them, that there's something wrong with them, or they're mentally, you know, incapacitated and this and that. And, you know, I also like to hear how surprised people are when they find out that part of their problem is that they have some attached entity to them.
Yeah, removing the demonic entities is a daily thing. You know, I come home from work, my wife says, "How was your day?" I says, "Oh, it's great. I moved the devil out of 5 people today." She goes, "That's nice. Supper's ready." You know, it's such a day-to-day thing. Now, a lot of people do think, okay, you're going to move the devil out of me. My head's going to spin around 360. I'm going to puke out green stuff. That's for the movies. Or if you do it in the wrong type of way, it is going to fight back, okay? There is going to be repercussions for trying to pull out a demon with the wrong tool or the wrong way of doing it. Or if you're trying to pull it out from the middle instead of at the top, there is specific certain ways to do it, and my guides and my pendulum give me the exact way to do it in order so there's no healing crisis, so the person doesn't go through any kind of downtime or get sick or anything like that. I've had, I'm going to say, one instance where it was a full-blown exorcism. Now, the parents of this 11-year-old boy, they knew that there was something wrong inside of them at the demonic level. They're spiritual people themselves. They know all about this stuff. So they came to me, and I worked on him. He was in Colorado, I think, on the phone. And all of a sudden, his mom says, "Uh-oh, there he goes." All of a sudden, he's standing still, upright. His eyes are rolling back in his head, and he's uttering words that nobody's ever heard him utter before. He starts hissing like a cat, and he starts writhing on the ground and starts screaming and doing all kinds of things. I was listening on the other end of the phone, and I was appalled. It was like, what is going on here? How come nobody warned me this is going to happen? Nobody knew this was going to happen at that level, but we were able to help the boy get through it, and that was a full-blown exorcism. Generally, it's just a nice, easy transition. Most people are going to feel a chill go through their body. Some people might feel a little bit of emotion. You might have a little bit of emotional outbreak of crying for a few minutes, but that's the extent of it for the most part. And all we're doing is releasing the hold of these dark energies on you, on your soul, so that you can go to the light instead of to the dark. So there's a lot of misconception about the demonic and removing it and what it really is and how to do it and how to talk to it and that type of thing. I work with Lucifer so much I call him Lucy. It's almost hilarious the way we work with it. So that's the basis with the demonic. Now, big thing with demonic, you always have to look for the satanic occult curse. There's a lot of people out there who like to have fun. Let's say, oh, let's take a picture of so-and-so, and let's burn black candles around it. And I found this phrase on the Internet. It's from a satanic Bible. And let's repeat that phrase 3 times and then stab the picture with a knife. Oh, wouldn't that be fun? All of a sudden, you've marked this person as a sacrifice to the devil. All of a sudden, this person starts getting really bad health problems. All of a sudden, things aren't going good for this person. A lot of people play around with it almost like a Ouija board, not realizing that these energies do exist. They are volatile, and they can harm you.
You know, the question I have for you on this, Chris, is, you know, what about to me, it seems like the biggest rule in the universe is free will, as reinforced by what we call the laws. So,
yes.
You know, how is anybody, I mean, yes, you know, we can yell at people, that's us using our energy to send negativity towards somebody. We can do, what you know, large-scale vectors, you know, high-level psychic attack, that kind of stuff. But in general, how is any of that stuff even allowed? You know, how is someone out there who wants to do harm to me allowed to use whatever energy they're going to use to send negativity towards me?
Because for the last 2,000-plus years, Satan was a ruler of the world. He was God of humanity.
Okay, that's 2,000 years, though. But, I mean, and for most of us that, you know, quote-unquote do protection, is the protection we're even doing, like calling in guardian angels or being surrounded by love or creating bubbles of protection, is any of that useful for defending off any of this negativity or low vibrating energy?
Yeah, yes and no. A lot of people ask me, what do I use to protect myself? And I think you have to know on a much deeper level how the universe energies actually work so that you can protect yourself. If you could, the number one way to protect yourself, close down all the stargates in your chakra system, because all of these energies get in through your chakra system as a stargate or a portal. That is the number one way. As soon as that door is shut, nobody can get in. How do they find their way in? Where do they come from? So that is the biggest thing. I've always, you know, told people you can pretend to envision yourself in a sphere of a mirror with a reflection. The energy comes and reflects off. A lot of crystals will do some good, but for the most part, the really big, strong ones that have been there for multiple lifetimes within us, we're born with that. So you can't get rid of it unless you go in at the very deep level and find where it is. If you find its location and you identify it, then it has to leave. That is a universal law, okay? Mm-hmm. But as far as just making simple intent, that ain't strong enough. Sometimes even the tools I got and the work that I do isn't strong enough. You got to beat this thing down into submission in order to really get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. So there was a question I had related to that, and that is, you know, I've worked with a team that supposedly goes in and does a lot of clearing work at this level. They also do things like grid work and, you know, protection grids and all that kind of stuff, you know, and very, very good at what they do. And I had someone actually work on my system, my body, and one of the claims they made is they say, well, yeah, we cleared out some entities and we cleared out some other stuff and stuff like that. And they made a statement that basically said, you'll never have this problem ever again. And I thought, well, that's an interesting guarantee to put in place. And I'm just wondering, is there something that could be put in place at such a level that it would guarantee that a person would never be acceptable to anything negative?
Generally, if you pull something out at its core root level. So let's say this entity is stuck in at level number 14 within your body. If you go down to that level, if you're able to find it at that level and pull the whole thing out, it's gone. It's not coming back. Okay. If you do something to bring in another one, well then that's another story. But this thing ain't coming back. If you leave a piece of it in there, now it can smell itself, let's say, and it can get back in there. So ultimately, in order to be completely 100% clean, you have to do clearing after clearing after clearing after clearing to get really deep down to find everything at its very root level, back in the past lives, into different dimensions. There's so many different areas to look in. I've been shown quite a few more areas to look in. We all have something called a parallel incarnation. That is a form of our higher self. We also have something called the virtual incarnation, which is another form of our higher self. So we've got these two outer bodies that a lot of people never really knew existed. When you work within those, it goes to a much deeper level. We have a chakra system. We also have something called the great chakra system, which is connected at a different level within the universe. So there's a lot of hiding places for these things. So if you can hunt them down at all these different levels and pull them out, that's the only time you can be really 100% clean.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you another question here. So basically, if people are involved in heavy self-abuse and negative activities such as heavy drinking or very heavy drug use and so forth, so is that basically, in a way, you're kind of letting your guard down, and because you're getting into more of a kind of semi-conscious state, you're just leaving your stargates open that much wider to absorb these things?
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. When you are at those low levels of energy, that attracts the lower energies in. It's like, okay, look, he's really low, let's jump in. If somebody is going through a lot of emotional or mental turmoil and trauma, the loss of a loved one, a breakup of a marriage or something, and you're feeling really low, there's an opportunity for these dark things to get in. Your guard is down. Let's say your immune system is really down, your energetic immune system. So that is an opportunity for all of these things to get in.
So it's just kind of like spilling the jar of honey on your kitchen counter and all the ants come checking it out, you know?
Yes.
You know, you're just biting. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike. I was going to say, I figured you were going to ask another question. I was just waiting for it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so on the other end of the spectrum, I'll give you an example in the work that I do. When I do music sessions for people, I have them wear noise-canceling headphones, and I'm playing, you know, very high vibrational music. I start out a lot calmer with different instruments that are lower vibration but work up to a higher vibration. And because I haven't physically, purposely in that work, looked to remove entities from people, but what I think does kind of help a little bit is that when I get to states where I know I'm working with their higher self, that their higher self is more connected to their lower self about halfway through the session, that's when the frequencies of the music start to get higher vibration. I'm just curious if that helps to, like, I wouldn't say I'm consciously working to remove entities from people. Now, perhaps if I made that my intention and focused on that specifically, I could with a combination of my healing work and the music. But on a grander scale, does that just deter new things from coming in? I'm wondering if that's like, you know, healing the stargates, or stargates are kind of having, it's like they're beefing up their security because they're so full of light, they're saying, no, we're not going to let any of those low vibrational things in. And I'm sure this is true that, you know, with like you said, all different kinds of healing modalities that can have the same concept, where it's concept of bringing higher vibrational energy into the person so that they're more connected to their higher mind, and they're also more protected in a way that they're vibrating at a higher frequency of light that a lower energy wouldn't even have an interest of coming in. What's your comments on that?
Basically, I don't know if it's quite so cut and dry. There's so many things that we will never be able to understand or even conceive a thought that happens with all of the dark energies and all the vibrations that are in us and around us. You know, everybody says, oh, you got the demon in you. Well, just bring in God's light, it'll go away. It's not quite that simple. It's not quite that cut and dry. It is an effort to actually move these things out. You have, you know, universal losses, you got to identify them. Like hide and seek. 1, 2, 3 on Mark, but it's really Mike. Mike's not caught. Same principle applies when you're moving these darn critters out. So the whole vibrational aspect is one aspect that you can vibrate something out, but boy, that's got to be one strong vibration. It's got to be huge. It's got to go into very deep levels of the body.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I'm looking of ways of more, you know, like if you do different exercises throughout the day or meditation that you're kind of protecting yourself, you know, rather than talking about that, using that method to get out what's already in there. But, you know, I think positive energy, you know, if you're more in positive moods and positive energy and you kind of put yourself in a more higher vibrational state, you have a better chance from what I'm theorizing here, you have a better chance of keeping the stargates guarded better, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Sure. Yeah, if of course, if you keep yourself positive-minded, if your glass is always half full. If you don't look at the negative in something, you always look at the positive. You know, of course, that is raising your vibration. And anything that is loosely attached to you as far as anything negative will fall off. It's at the very deep core level within us that all these things like smudging, you know, it doesn't do quite to that core level. It'd get rid of any kind of Klingons attached to your aura. Okay, it's going to go to certain levels, but it's not going to go to the very deep level. And like I said, only by identification, only by finding out where it's hiding, who it is, what it is. I'll give you a quick story. A lady came to my clinic. She had pain in the right side of her abdomen for 20 years. She had her gallbladder removed. She had her appendix out. She had all these different surgeries. The pain would not go away. So she came in. I started dowsing, and I said, "You've got Lucifer in your bowel." She goes, "What?" I said, "Just humor me for a second." So I went into the right bowel in the ascending colon, and I said, "Cast out Lucifer from the ascending colon." So all of a sudden, the pain moved from the right side after 20 years to the left side. She looked at me with these big wide eyes and says, "What the heck just happened?" I says, "Ah, the game is afoot. The game is afoot." So we chased him around her body a little bit. The pain moved. All of a sudden, he just said, "Okay, I'm done. I'm out of here." And he left, and her pain went away. But yet you had to chase him. You had to find him. It is a little cat and mouse game at times. These things can hide. These things can disguise themselves. These things can manipulate your pendulum, your thoughts, whatever, so they can't be found. So you have to find unique ways to get in the back door or to trick them or to have them expose themselves unknowingly. So there's a lot of different aspects when it comes to getting deep in the body with these things.
Hey, Chris, let's hit you with the last question before we end the show. Thanks for the great questions, Mike. Chris, what's the biggest lesson in life you've learned so far?
Oh, the biggest lesson in life is love and family, ultimately. When I lost my first wife, I met somebody else. And I'm 52 now. She's 37. She says, "Chris, we're having kids." And I said, "Whoa, hold on a minute." But I gave in. We've now got two kids, 3-year-old boy, 7-month-old girl. The best thing in the world has ever happened to me is, number one, meeting this person, having kids, and now doing the work that I do. So love is the biggest, biggest attribute to anything.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. And thanks for being on the show again. It's always a great honor. I know you've been really busy,
pleasure. And
we love you that you take time to actually come on and do the show. So thank you. And
let me
Mike,
give out my website if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Website is chriskehler.net, chriskehler.net. I take appointments on my service. Okay, you can book your own appointment. My appointments are $55 per session. And we do a lot of work, and we do a lot of good work. So check it out. Check me out on YouTube.
And I've actually done work with you remotely, and I can vouch for all the great work you do. So thank you for that. And as always, Mike, thanks. And with that, I'll say good night to everybody. Good night, everybody.
Blessings to everyone.
Good night, Chris. Good night, Mike.
Good night.
The cost left my heart broken, so I had it closed for repair. Wandering in my desert, your oasis refuses. You're like a long, cool drink of water. I'm thirsty, that's clear when I taste you. I know you are.